Hello, friends, and welcome to Beloved City Church in person, online, listening in on the podcast, on the move. Thanks for being with us in this moment. No matter where you are on your faithing journey, new to faith and spirituality, or exploring Jesus for the first time, or maybe you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, I believe today will still be one more opportunity for you to be encouraged and to be challenged and to take one more step toward truth about God and about faith and about yourself. We're learning, we're on this explorative journey together. Hey, if you missed any of the Freedom series, these talk episodes that we're on right now, you can catch what you may have missed on the podcast or on the YouTube channel. Seize the opportunity to hear what God may be trying to say, to speak to you in your life in this moment. I believe God is speaking in this season, and I know that your heart, God wants to speak to it as well. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is changing our circumstances. He's healing old wounds and hurts. He is setting people free from subscribing to the lies and deceptions of the enemy, Satan. Half-truths, lies that confuse us and prevent us from living in our gifted life of freedom in Christ Jesus. Friends, freedom does look good on you. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where you have partnered and are in agreement with the lies of the enemy? Jesus wants to absorb your brokenness, your stubbornness, your pain and past hurts, your shame and grief. And in return, he wants to fill you full of new life, light, and love. Show me, change me, Jesus, and fill me with the Holy Spirit. That's been our prayer since the beginning of this new year. Over the course of the series of talk episodes, Freedom Looks Good on You, we've been learning about what it means to walk in freedom, freedom from those things that just don't quite offer me life and fulfillment in Christ, draining my energy, lending to me developing feelings of insecurity and anger, hostility even sometimes, draining my energy, lending to developing all kinds of different heart issues. Selfishness and bitterness and unforgiveness, rejection that's been caused by words that I've spoken over myself or maybe others have spoken over me, evil thoughts that plague my mind and I keep hitting rewind and replay, those things that are distracting me from living free. And the last two episodes, we've been learning that God is seeking true worshipers. And John 4 and 23 says, you and I as vessels of honor were created for his pleasure, and willing and participating in offering up good worship to a good God. If you remember last week, true worshipers who are worshiping in awe, worshiping with abandon, and worshiping with intimacy. It's a good God. God's a good God that needs and deserves good worship. Worship is simply showing what we value, and we as humanity are all really amazing worshipers, amazing at showing what is truly worth something to us. And as we worship, we are simply are responding to what we value and what is worth something to us. What's your worship? Who are you worshiping? When we worship a good God with good worship, all of our problems start to become smaller, because in that moment of good worship, in awe, in an abandon, and with intimacy, he gets bigger in our lives. A living God who sees you, who hears you, who speaks to you, he is truly worthy of my affection, of my celebration, of my praise, and of my gratitude. All the days of my life, not just yesterday when everything was good, but every day of my life. King David, remember the story last week, we're going to kick off again with a little bit more about him. He disrobed, laying down his robes of distinction, of separation, of privilege and of power, control, maybe pride, fear, esteem, kingly expectations. And he put on a linen ephod. He put on priestly garments. We read about this in 1 Chronicles 15 and 27. King David said this to his wife, Michael, who scorned and resented him for leaving his posture of authority and window of superiority. And King David said, I am willing to look foolish, if you might remember from last week, to worship with all my might, and even to be humiliated in my own eyes. I didn't hold back anything. in my expression of worship, he's saying, humbled himself in joining in with the priests and Levites, derobing his kingly robes, putting on the priestly garments in this posture of the priesthood that is ready to minister to and serve the living God in worship, not out of obligation or not out of a place of authority, but out of a heartfelt desire to worship, to minister to his Lord and his God with heartfelt worship. This expression of David's heart, who, by the way, was a man after God's own heart, we read about in the scripture, showed that he had a genuine emotional link to God. Friends, there are two great errors that our churching culture often portrays, okay? First off, the error of making emotions the center of Christ's following life. And the error, number two, of being emotionally devoid and detached in our Christian life of followership. See, emotions are not meant to be manipulated, and they must not be repressed and suppressed as well. You and I can worship Jesus truly with freedom, with everything that we've got, with my time in my job, with praise and gratitude and songs, or even just speaking it from my lips, with your energy, in your finances, no holds, no bars, without being closed fisted. I'm not emotionally repressed, but freely I am able to give because freely I have received this abundant gift of life. This is the Jesus way, my friends. Psalms 27 and 4 says, "One thing that I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." King David loved the Lord his God with all his heart and soul and strength. All I want to do and to pursue in my life is you, God. Nothing else will do. I just want you to be in your presence, to sing my praises to you, to gaze upon your beauty. I only want to be caught up in your presence. Sit at your feet in this holy moment. I never want to leave, as the song sings. I'm not even here for the blessing, as you don't owe me anything. But more than anything that you can do, I just want you, Jesus. I am removing my robes of power and of privilege and of entitlement and even my robes of fear and insecurity and shame and criticism. And I'm putting on my priestly garments that I may serve you in worship in this moment, in this time, and in this space. This is a heart of worship, friends. This is the sound of freedom, hearts of worship who are worshiping in awe, with abandon and intimacy. Can you imagine, can you see alongside me with your spiritual eyes in this moment, a people group, a community, a church who is so willingly caught up in their love life union with God, caught up in the present moment in awareness with Jesus, willing to look foolish to our host culture, unafraid, unashamed, freely living in awe and with abandon and in intimacy in this nearness, in this closeness with Jesus. Yes, I want so much more. Friends, I believe this is noteworthy, and this word may just help somebody in this moment to find some freedom today. In 2 Samuel 6 and 23, we read that Michal, the daughter of Saul, it says, criticizing wife of King David, we read last week, had no child to the day of her death. See, an attitude and posture of criticism walks hand in hand with fruitlessness in our spiritual world, in our spiritual living. If you're seated in a high place of criticism and in your relationships, in your spirit, in your attitude, in your outlook toward those around you and others, Michal's barrenness was not necessarily the result of divine judgment. And it may have even been possible that David never had marital relationships with her again. Nevertheless, though, the principle stands, there is often a spiritual barrenness or fruitlessness and dead works in the life and ministry of the overly critical. Before you speak, friends, before you criticize or despise or openly respond with resentments and contempt, remember this, that every time that you open up your mouth, you have the opportunity to advance the kingdom of death or advance the kingdom of life. Friends, choose to speak life. Choose to be a vessel of honor, set apart and set aside for honorable purposes, living a life of worship to King Jesus worship. What is it that you can derobe of in this moment, in this day, in your circumstances, to take off and put aside and set down? What is it that you can exchange for your priestly garments of servitude and ministry? Is it power? Is it control? Is it pride? Is it your revered dignity, fear, esteem? Is it criticism, your robe of criticism, or conservatism, or insecurity, politicization, self-hatred, rejection, past mistakes, past or current abuses, greed, shame? Is it guilt, lust, sexual impurity? Is it depression? Is it loathing, anger? What are you wearing that's holding you back from putting on the priestly garments of praise and of worship? We can choose to take off these things that may be hindering you from coming down from your window of prestige or your window of criticism and skepticism and putting on Christ. He is robing you with his righteousness, with clean hearts and clean hands. You have been prepared as a priesthood. You've been called as a priesthood for such a time as this, friends. Yet you are no longer having to go behind veils and into temples and polish wooden boxes. You have unobstructed and unrestricted access to our God and Father in creation. You can go into the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of the living God at any time of your day, of your night, of your week, of your year, of your life, to minister to God in worship, in offering up sweet smelling sacrifices of praise and worship and incense of worship in every way, with what I say, in my time and my energy and with my finances, wherever and whenever you can offer up worship unto God. Oh, he loves to smell that sweet smelling fragrance of a sacrifice of praise. So how can we posture ourselves then in disrobing ourselves of our rights and privilege, like King David, to put on our linens of humility, ready for good worship of a good God? Well, we can start with confession. Confess it, repent, turn away from it. Remember, invite Jesus to show you and show me, and then change me, Jesus, and then fill me with the Holy Spirit. Stopping our agreement with the enemy and partnering in this agreement with his half-truth lies about you and about others and about the world and about God. Whatever it is that you need to confess, confess it like this, but you fill in the blank. Okay, we're going to pray through this for just a moment. This prayer of confession, follow along with me. Father, I confess that I have believed the lie that I am blank, that I'm worthless, that I'm unlovable, that I made too many mistakes. Please forgive me for not trusting that what your word says about me is true. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing me as I confess. Secondly, it's repentance. Repenting is means to change direction. It's my thoughts and attitudes and behaviors, my actions. Part of this is offering up my body and renewing my mind and surrendering my will, like we talked over the past couple of weeks. Remember that from the Vessels of Honor teaching episode, and as we prayed through those steps last week, when we repent, choosing to turn around, living my life in my self-indulgent patterns and rhythms, opposite of our previous pathway. We've gone a different way now. Sometimes we try to bring Jesus alongside us on our old pathway, don't we? We just let Jesus, we adopt him into our old patterns. But that's not the way of Jesus. It's an about turn. It's a turning away from my life and my self-indulgent patterns to follow Jesus. Jesus gives us a whole new pathway. Early followers of Jesus called it the way. Jesus referred to the path that he illuminates as the way, the truth, and the life. Here is what we are doing. We are literally stopping our agreement with the enemy, Satan. Remember, there's only two opposing forces in this universe, light and darkness. There's no in between. There's no neutrality between good and evil or love or fear. We set our mind and our passions and our motivations, all of our rhythms and patterns, our thinking, our emotional responses, our behaviors, set on a brand new course. It's a fresh start. If anyone has hurt you by reinforcing those lies in your life, forgive them and then release them to Jesus. He wants to absorb these hurts and these brokenness. So repentance is what we're talking about. Whatever it is that you need to repent of or turn and go in a different direction in your pathway, repent like this. But you fill in the blank. Here's a prayer of repentance for us. Father, I repent. I turn away from my old patterns and rhythms and come out of any agreement with the lies of the enemy regarding my fill in the blank, regarding my worth. I recognize that I am greatly valued and loved by you, God. Father, I choose in this moment to believe your word and what you say about me. I also choose to forgive this blank. Whatever it is that I'm struggling with forgiveness in, I choose to forgive so-and-so or forgive so-and-so for doing something against me, for any way in which they have led me to believe that I am worthless maybe. Deliberately or inadvertently. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of all these things I have said and done that may have hurt others and even myself as well. See, it is important to note, friends, that when we confess our sins and brokenness, we reject the enemy's lies and half-truths, we realign ourselves with God's truth about us and about Him, about God, about faith, and about ourselves, and what it means to walk in freedom. You truly can't walk in freedom if you're walking your own path. The walk of freedom is walking the way, truth, and life of Jesus. Armed with a new confidence in His word, we can take authority over the enemy like we learned in our spiritual warfare episodes, removing the authority access that we sometimes give the enemy in our lives. We give room, we partner, we align ourselves with the lies of the enemy sometimes, but we take back the authority over the enemy of everything good, Satan, removing the residual and the effects of his lies from our lives. Cast them off. So what is the third thing we do is we're going to cast it off, a prayer of casting off these effects of the lies that are spoken over us or planted in our thought files. We are refusing to allow the enemy to continue to use destructive words and thoughts or events even against us with the authority of the name of Jesus. All power and authority is in Christ Jesus, and that's the words of Jesus. We command the enemy to leave. Whatever it is, friends, that you need to take the authority of Jesus' name in and cast off of your life, cast it off with me like this. And you fill in the blank for what specifically you need to cast off. So here's a prayer of casting off. Father, I cast off the lies that I am, that I'm no good, that I'm worthless, that I'm insufficient, that I'm incapable, whatever it is, I'm unworthy. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I break the curse of unworthiness or fill in the blank, whatever it is that you're walking through and all of its effects in my life in this moment. I come out of agreement with the lies of the enemy. I declare that the spirit of fill in the blank, unworthiness has no place in my life, and I come into alignment with your truth, Jesus, who you say I am by your spirit, God. Break off the power of these lies in my life in Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, lastly, we can bless. As vessels of honor, our lives are a living demonstration of value and worship or worship of Jesus. Lived out loud, our freedom in action, we truly are blessed to be a blessing. And I'm not talking about blessings, and blessings happen sometimes where we get new cars and new houses and things, but sometimes that's all we think it is. But blessings go so much further and deeper than a new car or a new job. Once your agreements with the enemy have been canceled and have been removed from your life, fill in that place that he held with truth and promises as found in Scripture. I'm encouraging you to get in your Bible and learn about the ways of Jesus and what he has to say about you. In the collection of books we call the Bible today, words of God written by ancient holy men and women as the Holy Spirit moved upon them to write. Speak life over yourself and others. Declare life, shed light, and give love, and declaring an accurate view of how God sees you. Friends, remember, freedom does look good on you. You are designed for this. You're built for this. I believe these steps will help you live in the freedom that you are designed to live as vessels of honor, as true worshipers with hearts of worship, living your life as unto God and for God, living the life He died to give you, actually holy and set apart from sin and shame and brokenness. It's beautiful, restored and new and refreshed. Jesus truly desires for you and me to be free. Whatever it is that you need to bless in your life or in the life of others, bless with me like this. But again, you fill in the blanks in this prayer of blessing. Father, I declare and choose to believe what the Word of God says in Ephesians 2:10, that I am God's masterpiece, created new in Christ Jesus. I release the blessings of value and purpose in my life and declare that I am of great value and worth much before you, God. No darkness, no weapon, no evil, no fear, no power, no dominion will prosper against me. Oh, for I am a child of God, and I receive this inheritance, the blessing of the protection of my King, my Lord, the covering of sonship and daughtership in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See, friends, we often want to trust in the security of our prestigious positions or what we can control or what we can accomplish on our own, that we're defined by our roles sometimes and our functions, our preferences and style even, our egos and attitudes. When we truly embrace the love God has for us, we will grow in our faith and trust in Him as enough, as our provider, for our fulfillment, for purposes, for forgiveness and grace. And from this posture of receiving such amazing grace, our relationship with Him grows. We develop such a deep love for Him. We're filled with awe. Like, He's awesome is what we're talking about. And abandon. I don't care about everything else in my life. I'm going to abandon all my desires, my passions, my rhythms. I want to live for Jesus. And I want to be in intimacy. I want to be in closeness and nearness as He conforms me into His likeness. It's a love life with God, friends. What we once saw as something worthy of criticism or too much work or maybe not for me or maybe even as a duty of religion has now become a devotion and a faithfulness, a trusting worship. There is nothing in this world that I'm willing to cheat on Jesus with my attention and with my distraction and with my intimacy. My natural response in this love-filled relationship is my good worship of a good God, and He truly is so good. And it's just as important. It's also my warfare. I spiritually fight for this love. I make a contract with my eyes to be averted from those things, the lust of my flesh, whatever it is. I'm combating lust. I'm pushing back hell and the temptations that attempt to lead me in an affair with the self-loves of this host culture. No, I don't want anything to do with it. I've declared war on Satan and his lies and his corrupt half-truths, the demonic forces of hell. I am battle-readied. I am outfitted for war in the spiritual realm, as Romans 8 says, nothing shall separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. David writes again in Psalms 149 and 6, let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands. I'm armed with praises in my mouth and the sword of the Spirit in my hand. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, Jesus. And this is how I fight my battles. What is your battle cry, friends? Are you sounding it out in praise and worship over your current circumstances? This is how I fight my battles with the sword of the Spirit in my hand and praises in my mouth. It may look like you're surrounded, but you are surrounded by Jesus. And this is how I fight my battles with praises on my lips and the sword in my hand, the sword of the Spirit, which we know is the Scripture. You've got to get in the Scripture and the Word of God and be able to read it over your life and declare it over the enemy who wants to sabotage your love life with Jesus. Ezekiel, one of the ancients found in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament portion of the Bible, a prophet and preacher, he sees this beautiful prophetic vision in Ezekiel 47:1-12. It's a vision of a river, a symbolism of the presence of God that was to come and be amongst the people. I believe there is a lesson from this river that I want to leave you with today. It goes like this. He brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple and toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Verse 2, then he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces towards the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Verse 3, going on eastward, we're seeing a vision here. On eastward, he's on a journey with a measuring line in his hand. The man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water. And it was ankle deep. Then again, in number 4, verse 4, again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Then again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Verse 5, again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And verse 6 says, and he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the sea goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Verse 10, fishermen will stand beside the sea. It'll be a place for spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. Verse 12, and on the banks of both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. How often do we confess Jesus as Lord, and as soon as there's a bump in the road, we grab for the wheel? This week, I had an opportunity present itself that I had applied for in this job, this career, for over a year ago. I was bothered and torn, and Angela, Pastor Angela, and my wife and I, we discussed it, we talked about it much, and we prayed about it, and we agreed just recently in the Holy Spirit to actually decline the offer. And yes, financial sustainability and consistency was attractive, yet I felt the Lord prompt me in my spirit asking, do you trust me, or do you want to figure this out on your own? And in that moment of wrestling with the temptation to grab the wheel and steer this life according to what I may see as good, I said, God, I know you hold tomorrow in your hands. I know you see the future. I know you have planted a vision and dream on my heart and in the heart of my family. I know that you have called me here and my family here to this city for a very specific purpose and reason. I could get distracted. I could attempt to make my own way, to build my own pathway. Yet I know I wouldn't have the attention span, the margin, and the capacity, nor the focus to complete the task that you have called me to complete. This was my confession before God. I have seen him work in the impossible before in my life and in many others. I can trust that he will do it again, and it will be far better than I could ever imagine. This church will be a thriving and life-giving church in this city, because I see that the water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Friends, who is ready to believe alongside me for greater things that are still yet to happen in this city for Jesus? As we continue venturing forward and deeper and closer in our relationship with God, we often have a tendency to want to keep ourselves grounded in reality, or maybe even need empirical evidence, keeping it even keel, don't want to rock the boat, let alone get out of the boat and walk on water. But I am praying for you and myself and our family and our church family, our spiritual family, and for those who are listening online today, that God will speak to the hearts of each and every one of you, even in this moment, to reveal to you where you are entertaining and feeding into unbelief in your life right now for the impossible. God wants to work in the impossible situation that you're walking through. And our tendency is to keep it real or to keep it normal, to keep it all together, to stay in the gray area, play it safe, and don't hear what I'm not saying, friends. I'm not talking about joining the uproar of our host culture. I'm talking about playing it safe when it comes to meeting polarization with peacemaking, meeting religiosity or humanism with love and grace, giving when I don't have enough, trusting when it doesn't even make sense, doing the right thing when no one else is looking, keeping my feet on the ground, ensuring my head is above water still, and I am remaining in control of my life. That's our tendency, isn't it? But God is inviting you and I to trust in Him for the impossible, to go deeper into the river, surrendered and willing to experience the fullness of His power and presence instead of keeping it whitewashed and sanitized. As you begin to surrender, like King David did, your robes of privilege, your authority over your own life, your control, your right to be right, your desire to be on top, to watch from the window of privilege, safe and out of the mess, surrendering control and directional leadership to Jesus, we will be swept away by His love and to enjoy the freedom on our journey with Him. Friends, here and now, you will see that He is worthy of your trust. It will become easier to give up your control, and you will be able to live in spiritual order. Friends, we are unpacking to a deeper degree what it means to walk out your freedom in Christ. I know we sometimes just wish that He would wave the magic wand over us, but there's this trusting and surrendering thing that we've got to walk through and be able to live in trust to Him and give it, relinquish my control. Let Him lead and guide me as my forgiver and my leader. Freedom does look good on you, friends. It starts when we say, my life is actually not my own. I know that I've been purchased or bought with a high price, and I'm a servant and priest unto Christ by choice. King Jesus, what would you have me to do? Now, let's wrap up with this for the next few moments. There are four levels of worship that I want to just bring to your attention. I want to show you from the picture of the river that we just read a few moments ago. The first one is ankle deep, and maybe that's where you are today. We can enjoy being refreshed in God's presence, but we are still in full control and in full command of our lives. We splash and play, and it's a little frivolous and fun, and then choose to walk out of the river with little to no lasting effect on our lives. So basically, we come to church maybe, and we enjoy the presence of God, and then Monday, boom, we're back to living in this bondage. We're back to living in rejection, unforgiveness, and bitterness instead of walking in deeper into the river of freedom in Christ. So secondly is knee deep. And maybe this is where you're at today. The currents and presence of God can be felt at this depth. And knee deep, you can feel the current of the river. But we maintain control in knee deep water. We still have a good view of the others in our lives who have ventured out into deeper waters. And we see that in His presence, we can see there is fullness of joy, as Psalm 16:11 says, man, I wish I was brave enough like those people to get out there and walk in freedom like that. It looks like so much fun. It looks so good. Or maybe with criticism, we look out and say, what a bunch of fools to be so blindly trusting. Don't they know that they could drown out there? We still are finding security in being back on the riverbank instead of pursuing the freedom that Christ has for us to live in. So then we can get to waist deep. And maybe some of you are here in the waist deep portion of the river. Here the river of His presence is strong. We feel it. It's pulling. And we've ventured out into deeper waters, but we fight the current. We wrestle and grapple with keeping contact with the bottom and don't want to get out of hand or out of control and let Jesus have too much of my life. Here is where we fight insecurity. Fear of losing control and fear of what others may think of you, or fear of losing control of my own life, and tempted to go back to where we feel safe and, again, in control of my life. Back on the riverbank where I have some free choice to do it. It's great that we do have free choice. It's at this crucial point and decisive moment in our decision, who is going to be in control of my life, God or me? Waist deep. Fourth one. The middle of the river, friends. This is where we experience the fullness of God's abiding presence. We are no longer fighting for control, trying to make my mark in the world or proving something to someone, fighting to remain in control. Instead, we pick up our feet from the bottom and we float, allowing and surrendering to His current to carry us, to go where He goes, and trusting and knowing that it is good, that God's purposes for me are good. He's a good God. Many of us want to experience the God things, but reserve just enough control of our lives that God is unable to take you beyond your free choice to where you can go and still touch the bottom, whether you're waist deep or ankle deep. Friends, contrary to the lies of Satan or your flesh or the world, God has only good things for His kids. You will never experience being in a place and posture of true worship until you are honestly able to say, God, have your way in my life, in everything in my time, in my relationships, in my energy, in my margins of finance. I need you, God, to have your way. Everything will live where the river goes. So what parts of your life are you not allowing to be swept away in the river of God and the Holy Spirit? The leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail, and they will bear fruit every month because of the living water. It's wonderful and exciting. Things will take place in your life when you can abandon yourself to God's will and purposes and presence in your life. Salvation, healing, provision, wisdom. The impossible is made possible. We will experience life and life to the full. Friends, freedom does look good on you. Friends, will you choose alongside me to learn to prepare your hearts, to posture yourself, your heart and minds again, to actively walk out your freedom in our experience and expression of good worship to our good God. Worship that goes beyond the songs on Sunday, but worship and worship that goes into every aspect, rhythm and pattern and motivation in your life. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I will not lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I will acknowledge him, and he will make my path straight. It's Proverbs 3:5. This is my freedom in action, friends. This is the sound of freedom, our good praise and worship of a good God. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Will you pray with me, friends? Jesus, we thank you. We know you are a good God. We thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship, an intimate relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin and shame and healing me of my hurts and my past mistakes and my brokenness. I choose to receive you, this extravagant gift of life, and I ask you to come and live and dwell in my heart and my life and be the Lord and the forgiver and leader of my entire life. I give you all of me, Jesus, and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live the life that you died for me to live. Show me how to activate your word in my life. Reveal to us, Jesus, where we can walk in the freedom that you have designed for us to walk in. Holy Spirit, reveal any areas in our lives that grieves you or has reduced our interactions with your presence in our lives and our daily living. Help us to align ourselves with your will, your truth, and your pathway. In Jesus' name, amen. So good, friends. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. Hey, if you'd like to be baptized and publicly declare your decision, I'm all in. I'm following Jesus. I'm burying that old life and I'm being raised to new life in Christ. We would love to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are passionate about what God has called us to do in this city, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making an impact for eternity in both us and in others. Will you take a step to partner your time, your energy, and your money with us at Beloved City Church? Help us grow the day-to-day ministries of Beloved City Church. Join our Big Table family. Make it official. Sign up for the next Family Discovery Night and discover what it means to be a family member of this local church. Hey, you want to serve and be a part of a team? Join the Grow team. Help serve others. Serve back into that Big Table family. Work alongside a team at Beloved. And last but not least, friends, will you prayerfully consider in this moment worshiping God with your money by giving and partnering financially at Beloved City Church. Help us grow a dynamic, Jesus-centered church in this city. So good. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We thank you so much. You're such a good God. Friends, we love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in a special way today. Remember, good worship of a good God. Amen.